thought the first four trumpets were bad, the next three trumpets are worse. Much worse. They're called woe trumpets. W-O-E. And the afflictions they bring will eclipse those of the first four trumpets. Martin Zender here, folks. This is the Revelation series. We're getting now into the beginning of chapter 9 and the woe trumpets. I didn't call them that. God calls them that. And there's a good reason for it, as you're going to see. I told you that the last verse of Revelation chapter 8 was profound on its own. And we're going to read that verse right now. This is the introduction to the final three trumpets that will usher in the kingdom of God. The seventh trumpet ushers it in. And we're going to see again the seventh trumpet by the end of chapter 10. But in chapter 11, we're going to go back and review stuff. We're going to see the same events from the perspective of the temple, from the perspective of the religious deliverance of the earth. Going to keep reminding you that the book of the unveiling is divided into three parts: the prophet, priest, and king. The prophet walks among the ecclesias, typified by the candlesticks. The king shows up, and the king is a political ruler, and we see the political deliverance of the earth. And in chapter 11 to the end, we're going to see the priest. We're going to see the religious deliverance of the earth. But we're seeing it all here in a sense, but we're not seeing it as specifically as we're going to be seeing it, especially the religious section in chapter 11. Now, verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8, John speaking, John writing, and I perceived and I hear one vulture flying in mid-heaven. Vulture, oh man, Martin, you choke on that. Vulture, King James says eagle, right? Or they say angel. Some versions say eagle, some versions say angel. I don't even look at the King James version, but I know it's not right there. Vulture. Where does the concordant get vulture? It's important. I'm going to explain that to you. I perceived and I hear one vulture flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice. Vulture is speaking. That's not unusual, because animals are all going to speak during the thousand-year kingdom. They spoke in the Garden of Eden. Why do you think Eve was not so surprised when she was accosted by a talking serpent? And there I hear a vulture flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Three woes. Look at this. Verse 13. Woe, woe, woe. That's because there are three trumpets remaining, and all three of them are called woe trumpets. Three woes to those dwelling on the earth as a result of the rest of the soundings of the trumpets of the three messengers. Remember, the trumpets are blown by three messengers, which is a result of seven seals having been opened, who are about to be trumpeting. So these are woe trumpets. And we know this when we go to verse 12 of chapter 9, when after the fifth trumpet sounds, which we're going to get in details about tomorrow and the beginning of next week. Whew, some crazy stuff coming up, folks. After the fifth trumpet sounds, John says, one woe passed away. Lo, coming still are two woes after these. W-O-E. One woe has passed away. That's the fifth trumpet. But coming are two more woes. Woe to those dwelling on the earth. But this is going to end it, finally. But why a vulture? There's a Greek word used here, and it's aetos, A-E-T-O-S. This is the word that is commonly translated eagle. One of these places is Matthew 24:28. Jesus said, wherever the corpse is, there the eagles gather. But the eagles don't gather around corpses. Eagles are solitary creatures. They don't gather around anything. But vultures do. Vultures are noble, especially the griffin vulture of the Middle East. Not to mention the fact, but I'm going to mention it, because that's what I do, that there are no eagles in Palestine. Ooh, that's a little detail missed by the King James translator. This is a vulture. And the reason that a vulture is flying announcing this is because lots of people are about to die. And how I could possibly think of a beer commercial at this time, I don't know. But I remember a beer commercial when I was a kid. And this guy was going through the desert. And he's like on his last gasp. And he looks overhead. And typical of all movies where someone's dying in the desert, there are vultures flying around because they're waiting for death. They are harbingers of death. If you see a vulture flying, there is death. I used to see this. I'll get back to the beer commercial. Don't panic. I used to see this in the country when I lived on a dairy farm. Or no, I didn't live on the dairy farm. I lived across from the dairy farm, which was close enough, believe me. And there would be vultures circling. And I knew when a cow had died because the vultures were circling. Or anytime there was roadkill, which there was frequently in the land of death where I used to live in Ohio, the vultures would circle. And that's why there is a vulture flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those dwelling on the earth as a result of the rest of the soundings of the trumpets of the three messengers who are about to be trumpeting." Because the vultures, again, are ready to pick the bones of the dead, and a third of mankind are going to die. This is why I continually warn you that people will die. This is why I continually warn, sound the trumpet and the alarm against organized religion, because God is coming after the practitioners of organized religion, and especially the leaders of organized religion. He's going after politics and religion, politics and religion. I'd rather be in politics than religion. Both are going to go, but the four messengers that we're going to read about at the river Euphrates are bound there, and they're going to be released to destroy the adherents of religion on this earth. And I warn you over and over again to get out of religion. Please do it. The first four trumpets summoned the inanimate forces of nature, and these were harrowing enough. The inanimate forces of nature, we saw hail mixed with fire, and we saw blood. These all belong to nature. We've seen blood. We've seen hail. We've seen fire. True, we haven't seen them in this combination or doing this task, but we have seen them. Even the burning mountain that fell into the sea. Well, there have been meteors, and it's a chunk of rock. We've sort of seen chunks of rocks. We've sort of seen mountains. We've seen fire. Haven't really seen mountains on fire. Wait a minute. Yes, we have. I saw a mountain on fire in Colorado Springs. Mountains have been on fire. These things are the inanimate forces of nature. Even though they're destructive, they're inanimate. And you're not going to be afraid, per se, of a hailstone or of a tongue of fire because it has no personality. It doesn't look back at you. It doesn't think. It doesn't have eyes or a mind. The torch-like star named Absinthe that sizzles. It has a name, but it doesn't have eyes. It doesn't have a face. It doesn't have intelligence. And again, it can't look you in the eye. But now we come to the woe trumpets, the last three trumpets of the judgments of God. And these trumpets are called the woe trumpets for a reason, because now God summons intelligent beings. Intelligent creatures that think, that have minds, that have eyes, that can look at you. The scariest thing you see in movies, I mean, I barely look at scary movies. I'll just like look out of one eye. I'll never watch them, but if somebody's watching one on their computer, I'll look real quick. And these creatures that, like, for instance, the orcs, is that what they're called in, what do you call that? Monty Python's? No, that's not Monty Python. That's a Lord of the Rings. Monty Python. They look at you and they snort and a snot comes out of their nose. These are living creatures, and it is going to be direct disastrous infliction. And I'll set the stage for you. The scorpion, locust, and the cavalry. the cavalry that comes out of the earth. These are the woes coming upon humanity. And again, the frightening aspect of them is that they are intelligent. Let me begin reading chapter 9, and we will go into detail tomorrow on the fifth trumpet. And the fifth messenger trumpets, and I perceived a star fallen out of heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the well of the submerged chaos. To him, this is not a sizzling star. This is not a comet. To him, this is a messenger responding to the trumpet of the fifth messenger, a star falling out of heaven, and to him was given. And this messenger has a name, and we're going to get to that in verse 11. Has a name. It's an intelligent being, and it releases intelligent beings onto the earth. And you are glad that you're not going to be here for this. And he opens the well of the submerged chaos. Where's the submerged chaos? I don't know. Doesn't say. All I know is this, is that there is a submerged chaos. Submerged chaos. Chaos you would think would be bad enough, but this is a submerged chaos, such evil, such darkness, that it is under the ground. And I've mentioned to you before the analogy of War of the Worlds. H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds. The aliens that attacked Earth were planted in the ground. They were planted there. And they bided their time, and they waited, and they came out of the earth. How did they come out of the earth? They didn't start there, but they were planted in the earth. And in the earth right now are planted demonic forces, demonic powers, animate, not inanimate, but animate objects, intelligent and not animate beings, intelligent beings. Even in the War of the Worlds, those things that came out, they were more like machines than intelligent beings, than living organisms that creep and look and run and think. I mean, ants are scary. Ants scare me because I see them marching around and they're doing things and they're taking food and they're carrying things and they have an intelligence. And when you see the face of an ant on a microscope, it's a little bit scary. You see the face of a bed bug or things that these parasites, these mites, skin mites that crawl on us. And when you see them magnified, they scare the heck out of you. And you realize that they also are intelligent beings. They're not like the intelligent beings we're about to read about, but they also are intelligent beings. They know what they're doing. They move. They burrow. They have habits. They have practices. They get up and go to bed. Just unbelievable. The world of the insect world is unbelievable because, again, I don't know how their brains work. They've got to be small. Just when you think a mouse is small or a dog is small or a turtle is small, you realize how small that brain has to be. How small is the brain of an ant? Does it even have a brain? Of course it has a brain. It has to have a brain. I don't know what makes it think, what makes it carry the food, what makes it do what it does, but the insect world is of God. He invented the insect world, but now from the insect world, it's going to turn bad with the fifth trumpet. The insect world is going to turn bad with the fifth trumpet. And if you think gnats are a nuisance, and if you think mosquitoes are a bother at your 4th of July festivities, or the ants are irritating you at your picnic, even fire ants in the subtropical zones, you haven't seen anything yet, and the inhabitants of the earth will be praying. This is the thing with these trials. The inhabitants of the earth will be praying for the good old days when they only had ants and fire ants and gnats and mosquitoes and roaches. A roach is going to be, oh God, I long for the day of roaches. And this is going to be the whole sentiment of humanity. We long for the day when we had the sun. My God, how could we take this orb for granted? How could we have taken the beams of the moon for granted at night? How could we have taken drinking water for granted? And you're going to long for the days of ants and mosquitoes and gnats and even scorpions. Oh my God, coming up tomorrow, the fifth trumpet.